It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. School's out for the summer, and students are already thinking ahead to the next year. With many taking summer courses, high school students in particular are searching for opportunities to gain college credit before graduation. According to data from the Wisconsin Technical College System, last year over 40,000 Wisconsin high school students took college-level classes. In 2014, only 26,000 students participated. What's behind the increase? Have you ever gotten college credit for an AP class you took in high school? How did that help you in college? Are you a parent of a high school student? Do you plan on having your child take a college-level course before graduation? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join our discussion. Or you can email us, ideas@wpr.org. Megan Miller is an early college specialist with Blackhawk Technical College. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
And Ann Westrick is the Career Prep Education Director for the Wisconsin Technical College System. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Thanks to both of you for joining us this morning. Megan, right now, summer college courses are in session, whether on a Wisconsin campus or online. What's available for high school students to take as far as college credit during the summer?
Well, they can take any class entry-level gen ed that they want to. So a lot of students have already taken some of their general education requirements in high school, whether it's through our Wisconsin Technical College System dual credit or whether it's through AP. So really, depending on the program that you're looking at, the possibilities are out there.
And Megan, should non-credit summer classes also be considered as an option for high school students?
Oh, absolutely. I think high school is an excellent time to kind of discover what your passions and interests are. It doesn't always have to be just about academia, because oftentimes our, you know, just life interests really drive what we decide to do with our lives.
And why are more students taking college courses in high school these days?
I think it's because they really have a strong interest in their career path, and they want to take a look at what they can do to get on that path sooner. I also think they want more value out of their high school education. They want to see what lies ahead, try out some of the courses, see if it fits their needs, and then continue down that path.
Megan, is it the students driving this or parents making the decision?
That's a great question. I think it really depends on the student and the parent, to be perfectly honest. We have a lot of really self-motivated kids, especially what comes to mind are the students who take advantage of like CNA while they're in high school. We have a number of students who earn their CNA. They can start as early as 16, and they're, like Ann said, already getting that value of being able to start their career path. I think for other students, it is the parents sort of driving it, because they know that they've already done that traditional four-year college pathway that we're all really familiar with, and we know the cost of that. And so kind of like being smart and taking advantage of all of those opportunities early is also an interest that parents have.
So you can save some money if you take college classes in high school?
Yeah, they're all free to the students.
Okay. How do you assess, Megan, how do you assess whether taking college courses in high school isn't actually saving time or money?
Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure what you're asking. I mean, so if a student, let's say, for example, as an eighth grader decides they want to be a teacher, and so they take some college-level classes in high school, and they do a little of experimenting with education, they find out by the time they're seniors, wow, education is not for me at all. So to me, that would still be time saved, because now at least they're starting their college pathway with some clarity and knowing at least what they don't want to do.
Let's take a call from Lee in Appleton. Lee, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning. Slightly related, but also helpful in the same way. My children both took advantage of AP classes in high school, which after studying them throughout the high school year, they have the opportunity to take an exam. And if they get a certain score, those credits then translate to college. And in my daughter's case, she was able to start school in Minnesota, Twin Cities, as a first semester sophomore, which is enabling her to graduate early and save us quite a bit of money.
Lee, thanks so much for sharing that. Megan, that's kind of what you were talking about here, is what Lee's experience was with actually saving some money by taking AP classes in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we have students here, so I'm at Black Hawk Technical College, and we have some local students in Rock and Green County who are graduating very close to an associate degree at the same time as they graduate high school. And we actually have an in-district public charter school in Janesville that's starting next year. Their students are going to be on track to graduate with an associate degree at the same time as their high school diploma.
Megan Miller is an early college specialist with Black Hawk Technical College, and Westrick is the career prep education director for the Wisconsin Technical College System. You can join our discussion at 800-642-1234. High school students, are you currently taking courses for college credit, and why did you decide to do that? Or maybe you're someone who went into college with credits. Are you glad you did that? Tell us your story. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or you can email us, ideas@wpr.org is the address. And for high school students looking to enter a tech college and earn college credits, what are some options that are available?
There are many options for students that want to get some technical college courses done and completed while they're in high school. The most common way is called transcripted credit, and that's where the student is able to take a college-level course in their high school, taught by their high school instructor, and it becomes a regular part of their school day. So we have liaisons at each of the 16 colleges that work with the high schools in their technical college area, and they work with the high school students and provide them the opportunity to take a college-level course. The liaison then works with the high school instructor, provides them a technical college mentor. All of the curriculum from the technical college is shared with that high school instructor, and that full-blown college-level course is taught to those students in high school during their regular high school day. So that's a huge advantage for students to be able to get that college-level course, not have to leave the high school. It becomes part of their regular day. And as you had said earlier, over 45,000 students have been doing that last year alone, and they're finding the value to be unbelievable for those students.
Tell us a little bit more about dual enrollment. How does that work?
Well, dual enrollment is really the practice of taking a college-level course while in high school and getting dual credit, which means that they're not only getting the high school credit, but they're getting a college transcript and they're getting the college credit. So they are dually enrolled. So a student can be in their high school taking the college-level course and gaining credit for both. And that's very advantageous for the student. Time shortens time to completion to degree, and then really engages them in that college-level course.
Megan, what do these classes look like? How do they compare to a high school curriculum?
That's a great question, too. So oftentimes it's a more rigorous curriculum. So, for example, students who are more, possibly more familiar with AP, you know, you can take AP psychology, and it's not terribly different from what you learn in a regular psychology class at high school, but the pace is faster, the writing is more, intensive. And so our actual college curriculum is what's being taught there. So it's really about, like, the timing, the pace, the depth that you explore, the different subject matter. And so it's very easy to interweave dual credit with classes that students are already expected to take just for their high school graduation. So students who want a more rigorous program of study to challenge themselves, and even if students struggle in these classes, the data out there, both for AP and for our kids, is that they're going to do better in college even just taking the class because they've had that exposure.
Megan Miller is an early college specialist with Black Hawk Technical College. Ann Westrick is the career prep education director for Wisconsin Technical College System. Our conversation about high school students getting college credit for work they do while in high school will continue in just a moment. And we invite you to participate at 800-642-1234 with your comments or questions. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Each year, more high school students are taking college courses for credit. We're finding out why that is and the advantages and disadvantages. Do you teach dual enrollment courses? What do you think about high school students taking college credits? Have you ever taken an AP class? Do you think taking the class was worth your time? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Ann Westrick is the Career Prep Education Director for the Wisconsin Technical College System. Megan Miller is an early college specialist with Black Hawk Technical College. Ann, how does funding work for dual enrollment classes in Wisconsin?
Well, we call it, it's a situation called cost neutral. So what that means is that the technical college has some skin in the game, and they provide all of the curriculum, the access to Blackboard, the college mentor, to the partnering high school. The high school skin in the game is that the instructor at the high school gives up an hour of their regular teaching day to teach that college-level course. So, of course, there are costs involved, and they are absorbed by both of those entities, but they both have skin in the game, and they provide that to students free of charge. So in most cases, students are able to attend their high school, take a college course, and it's no cost to them. And like Megan was saying, many of them will leave their high school with an associate degree or a one-year technical diploma, be ready to go into the workforce if they choose to do so, and there has been no cost to the student or to the parent.
Megan, as part of the dual enrollment program, high school teachers are often teaching high school students and these college credit courses. Do these teachers typically need a higher level of education to teach those courses?
Yes, so our Higher Learning Commission requires that all of our high school teachers who are teaching the technical college classes at their high schools meet the same minimum qualifications as our faculty here at the college.
And, Ann, another program available for Wisconsin high school students is called Start College Now. Tell us about that.
So Start College Now is an option that students have when they have sort of exhausted all of their options at their local high school, meaning that they have, maybe they're on a path to go into a career in welding, and the high school has one or two introductory welding courses, and at some point that student has taken what they can at the high school, and now it's time for them to get a college-level course, but the high school can't offer it. So the Start College Now is an application process where the student says, I would really like to continue my career path in welding. I'd like to go to the technical college. Fills out an application. The school board of the local high school reviews that application, approves it, and then the student is able to take that course at the technical college free of charge again to the student, and that's an service provided by the high school to enable the student to continue down their career path, explore what they need to do, and gain the credits that they need in order to go into that career, like I said, in welding.
And who so this is students who have kind of exhausted whatever their high school options are can choose this. Let's take a call from Carol in Milwaukee next. Carol, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. I'm just walking into my school building right now. I'm a school counselor at Tenor High School in Milwaukee, and we have a dual enrollment program where we sponsor our seniors to go to MATC for their senior year.
So they spend their whole senior year going to MATC?
That's correct. They have to do their graduation requirements in 3 years, and then we sponsor them. And we have some that take general education classes that'll transfer to a four-year college, will apply to an associate degree. Last year, we had 66 students in this program. 15 of them earned a technical diploma during their senior year.
Carol, thanks so much for sharing that. And how common is this kind of program where a student would spend their entire senior year at a technical college?
5 years ago, that was not probably the option. However, with the growth in dual enrollment and the need for high school students to get more out of their high school career, it's becoming very common where they either spend their entire senior year at the technical college, or they might even break that up and spend half of the day in their high school and then the other half of the day at one of the colleges. We usually call that an academy model, where the students are continuing on to the technical college while their senior year, sometimes even their junior year, and engaging in multiple courses at the tech college. And it's usually a sequence of courses. So it's one, two, or three courses that work together to allow them to receive a degree. And so they, a one-year, a two-year technical diploma, or an associate degree. So it is becoming more common, and we're happy from the technical college side to work with our partner high schools to make this happen.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can join our conversation, and we're talking about high school students taking college credit courses. Tom is with us in Cuba City. Tom, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a question for your guest regarding changes to teacher requirements for transcripted credits. It's my understanding that it's become much more restrictive now for high school teachers to qualify to teach transcripted credit courses. For example, I'm a social studies teacher, and I have a master's degree in education administration, and I've been teaching psychology for several years, and now I'm told I cannot teach transcripted credit psychology because I don't have a master's in psychology. And at least in that area, I don't believe you're going to find a lot of high school teachers that do have a master's in psychology. So I'm just wondering if your guest could speak to that.
Anne, would you like to tackle that one?
Absolutely. So, Tom, I'm glad that you have been engaged in the past, and I'll tell you that the Higher Learning Commission did make some changes, but what they did say is that if you have a master's, which you do, you then only need 18 credits in your curricular area to continue teaching a transcripted credit course. Now, that is in the gen ed areas, the general education courses, much like you're speaking of. What we have been able to do to assist in that situation is to work with a variety of partners to provide grants to teachers who want to go back and get those 18 credits in that curricular area. So I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding that it's not a master's in the curricular area. If you have a master's, then it's just 18 credits. So I think there's a little bit of understanding there that we can clear up. And then, like I said, we are trying to help those teachers go back and get the credits that they need. Now, that's for the general education. For the occupational courses, it's done a little bit differently, and each college sets up how they work with those teachers to maintain their credentials. They have a plan that they answer to HLC, and they're able to engage in those courses, get the credentials they need to teach those occupational courses.
Tom, thanks so much for that question. Doug from Whitewater couldn't stay with us, but he had a question about why some districts offer more AP courses or dual credit classes than other districts. When he was a student, he noticed that other students had more classes available. What determines whether or not a high school is able to offer these classes? Anne or Megan, who wants to tackle that?
I can take that one. It really is dependent upon the course. So, for example, if it's a culinary course or a welding course, it really depends on the facilities that the high school has and whether they can offer that college-level course at their high school based on some of their facilities. So sometimes that could be limiting. The other thing could be the amount of instructors. It really takes some dedication from an instructor to take on that college-level course, to engage in the programs that go along with it, the workshops, the summer summits, whatever it might be. So sometimes it's availability of instructors. And I think it's really, sometimes it's a community need. If they promote the idea of students getting college-level courses while in high school, they always find a way to make that happen. But it really depends on the situation. There isn't a guidance, though, or a guideline that says, oh, this, you know, Madison Public Schools can only have this many, and rural schools can only have this many. It's not like that. It's really a one-on-one situation, and we always try to make it work when needed and when the desire is there.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. If you have questions about high school students earning college credit while they're still in high school. This is the hour to ask those questions and get them answered. We have more callers on the line waiting to ask their questions. You could join them at 800-642-1234. Parents, do you plan to have your high school students take courses for college credit? Is it something you wish you could have done when you were their age? Do you think high school students taking college courses is a good idea, or do you think it maybe puts too much stress on a student? 800-642-1234. Email us ideas@WPR.org. Megan Miller is an early college specialist with Blackhawk Technical College. Ann Westrick is the Career Prep Education Director for Wisconsin Technical College System. The news is next, and our discussion continues after that. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. High school students are taking more college courses every year, and we're exploring the reasons behind this trend. Have you or one of your children taken college courses in high school? What was your experience? Teachers and counselors, have you suggested your students take AP or college credit courses? Tell us about that. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Megan Miller is an early college specialist with Blackhawk Technical College, and Westrick is the Career Prep Education Director for the Wisconsin Technical College System. They're with us this hour to talk about this issue of high school students taking courses for college credit. Let's start with a phone call here from Charles, who joins us from Mount Horeb. Charles, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to add to the conversation that there is legislation, the Early College Credit Program, that deals specifically with college credits earned at a four-year university or college. And much like what your guests have been talking about through Blackhawk Tech and the tech system, students are able to enroll in college courses at a UW for the tuition is reduced, and then the tuition is assessed typically to the district. And so there is little or no cost for the students. So the opportunities are quite wide ranging across Wisconsin, not limited to the text, but involving all of the public higher education institutions, as well as the privates. The legislation, ECCP, Early College Credit Program, pertains to the privates as well.
Charles, thanks so much for sharing that. I was kind of wondering about that, and you're with the technical college system, but there is a parallel program in the UW, correct?
That is correct, and Charles is right. It is the Early College Credit Program. It's set up a little bit differently because there are a variety of levels of courses that the students can take and what the cost is. But yes, it's a great opportunity for students if they want to take a UW course or attend a private university while in high school.
Megan, I want to dig in a little bit more to advanced placement or AP classes. They seem to be a very popular choice for high school students wanting college credit. How do these courses work?
So AP is through a private company called College Board, and the benefits of AP is that they're accepted nationally as long as you get a score of at least a 3 or a 4. It depends on the institution that takes it. I used to teach AP when I taught at Blake Memorial High School. It's a phenomenal program for the students that, you know, engage in it. What I will say about the benefits of doing something like transcripted credit, whether it's through the Wisconsin Technical College system or the UW system, is that it tends to be a little bit more inclusive. AP has some equity and access issues. I know I received several trainings when I was an AP teacher from College Board. And I feel like because AP has sort of a stigma of being for like a certain type of student, it's sort of off-putting to kids who have high potential who just don't see themselves necessarily yet as college students. My favorite part of my job so far here has just been seeing the number of students who ordinarily would not have challenged themselves to take a college-level class, but have been able to take advantage of this opportunity through transcripted credit.
And do you think there's an appetite at all statewide for high schools to pay for AP exams? Because that is something, I know Lee mentioned that her daughter had taken, our caller earlier had mentioned that her daughter had taken the AP exam. Doing some reading about this, those can be a little spendy and not everyone can afford it. Is it being suggested that maybe the high schools pay for these exams?
I've not heard that, but again, the technical college doesn't really participate in that AP program. We're aware of it, and we know the high schools have it. So we don't. I don't have the background on that to know if there's any legislation or there's any drive to have the high schools pay for it. The high schools have always been very supportive of the courses that we can offer and allow the students to utilize some dollars from the from the high school to pay for their technical college credits. And then with the transcripted credit, like I said before, it's cost neutral. So each party has some skin in the game and covers the costs. But as far as AP, I don't engage in that to really know whether the school districts are going to get on board.
Let's take another call. Isabel is with us in Green Bay. Isabel, good morning.
Hi, I'm Isabel, and I'm a rising senior in Green Bay. I've taken AP classes in my freshman and sophomore year, and my junior year, I've taken all college classes at my local universities. My experience with the two programs is extremely different. In my AP classes, we have an open-door policy, which means, like, students, despite any grade prerequisite, can sign up for the class and take the class. And it just really slowed down the classes. My teachers only had 46 minutes to teach us in a single day, and they spent a lot of that time trying to catch up these students to where we were at. And by the time the AP test rolled around, we were very behind. We didn't have enough time to study all the material, and it was very rushed. And when I went in for my parent-teacher conferences, my teachers expressed the same frustrations, and they told us that before the open-door policy, they had like an 80% pass rate, which is really, really good. And after the open-door policy, it dropped to below the national average. And they said that with the open-door policy, they just did not have enough time to teach all the students the AP course load. And in our college classes, we actually had time to learn all the material. It wasn't memorization. We could actually understand the material. And I just felt that the AP classes were not a good prep for college courses.
Isabel, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. You taught AP courses. How common is Isabel's experience, do you think?
I would say, yeah, I mean, it really depends on, you know, high school policy, but I would say that a lot of AP teachers would agree that it becomes very stressful to accommodate a pretty prescriptive AP curriculum to all students, which, again, is why we have, like, an equity and access issue with AP, whereas with, like, transcripted credit and the dual credit classes here through WTCS, there's not, like, the one high-stakes one-shot only three-hour exam to determine whether or not you get credit. You're in a college class, so it's a graded transfer credit. So if you earn an A or a B in that class, you get an A or a B in college. It's not like, oh, I got a 4, so now I have that credit. So it really, like, it's a little bit maybe like what Isabel's experience was a more authentic learning opportunity because you're really participating in a true college class.
And what about the youth apprenticeship program? We had a caller earlier who couldn't stay with us who wanted to ask about that. How does the apprenticeship program work?
So the youth apprenticeship program is actually the oversight to that is through the Department of Workforce Development. As a technical college system, we do partner with them, and we help students understand what those opportunities are as well. So youth apprenticeship is taking coursework in high school as well. And the youth apprenticeship coursework is typically high school coursework, and then we align their competencies to some of our entry-level courses. So it's more of an alignment and a match. But again, we don't oversee that program. That's done through the Department of Workforce Development. But the Tech College is a partner, and we do try to help students understand those aspects as well.
Let's take another call. Amy is with us in Milwaukee. Amy, good morning. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. I'm a mom of a to-be senior that will be taking dual enrollment classes in the fall. I've also been a school board member at the K-12 level, and so I wanted to make one comment about the availability of AP courses at the high school level. One of the things that really sometimes binds smaller districts, whether they're rural or urban, is the availability of teachers outside of the core curriculum to be teaching a number of advanced placement courses. So in my daughter's situation, she will be taking an English course after having already taken AP courses at the high school level. In addition, she'll hopefully be taking some American Sign Language courses that will help to prepare her for her college work in that area. So this has just been a really great opportunity for her. I also happen to work on a technical college campus, and I'm familiar with dual enrollment students. And what I can tell you is that it really helps these students to prepare for the pace and the structure of college level work prior to entering that area full time.
Amy, thanks for sharing your insights with us. Anne, what about the availability of appropriate faculty in our high schools to teach these courses?
We find that if the high school has students that are really interested in taking the college-level courses while in high school, working with the instructors has really been a pretty easy situation for our college liaisons. They're motivated, they understand the needs of the student, and they really want to help out and participate. So we have not run into necessarily a shortage of teachers that are willing to take on the transcripted credit courses. We provide them a lot of support and encouragement. And like I said before, the colleges also provide them a mentor. So they're not doing this alone. They're working with the mentor at the technical college. They're utilizing the resources. And we've been very successful in finding the instructors that we need to teach the courses.
And when should, Anne, when should high school students consider taking college credit courses? How soon is too soon?
I would say starting to think about it while in middle school is excellent because it really helps them understand their potential for their career path. Dependent upon the program, students can start as early as a freshman in high school to start taking a transcripted credit course. I would say the majority of the students do it their junior and senior year, but it doesn't mean they can't start sooner, particularly in the computer courses, for example, because the computer literacy is really starting sooner in the student's career. So it's starting in elementary school and middle school. So by the time they get to high school, they're ready to take on those college-level computer courses. But I think the sooner you can do some of that career exploration, understand where your strengths are, and take a course that could match those strengths, the sooner you do it, the better, because your long-term path is going to be more well-defined.
Megan Miller is an early college specialist with Blackhawk Technical College. Ann Westrick is the Career Prep Education Director for the Wisconsin Technical College System. Our conversation continues in a moment. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. High school students are taking college courses for credit in increasing numbers. What are the advantages of doing this? We're exploring that topic this hour on the morning show with Megan Miller, early college specialist with Blackhawk Technical College, and Ann Westrick, career prep education director for the Wisconsin Technical College System. Chris is on the phone with us from Milwaukee. Chris, good morning. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, John. And before I say anything else, in having taught over 60 years, I have listened to WHA much, much longer than that. And you have been, in the past, one of my favorite people to hear. It's wonderful to hear you again. It brings back the voices of all of those other people, Jane Peraca, and all of them that have now gone.
But I'm blushing.
what I want to say is, it's very wonderful for kids who know where they're going and what they want to do, but the mass of students that I have experienced, they have lots of ideas, but they don't have the basic of knowing what life is really about. And if they could do some program after high school, like they used to in the service, go do, what was the program? A wonderful program it was called, where students went out and worked and helped. So they would know what they wanted to do, and it would give them more direction and more experience. I remember speaking to a group from your college years ago, students who were taking their makeup work, and they had no idea of really what they could do or what they could be. They didn't know basics, and life is hard out there, but shouldn't we have an interim program after high school where students experience the real world and at the same time have aspirations for higher education?
Chris, thanks for all that faithful listening over the years. What about it, Anne, Megan, are we getting students before they really know what they want to do, or is this a way for them to help kind of winnow through some ideas?
If you don't mind, I'll grab that. So really what we have done with the technical college system here is our ambition is to create pathways for students. And I'm listening to what Chris's comments are, and it's like really that it takes a village model and like really supporting our students and our community to help them be successful, because like academia does not always immediately become relevant to real life. So by adopting that really intentional and purposeful use of dual credit, we're helping students explore those opportunities and get that hands-on experience, because so much of our coursework beyond gen ed is hands-on at the technical college system. So I would just say that really that's the ambition and that's the aspiration, and I think that we're really serving our students well. The two reasons I hear from kids who aren't going to school is that it's too much money and I can't do it. So here's a free opportunity for them to take advantage of a real college class and really prove to themselves that, wow, you can do this. And it really it gives more opportunities for those students to get those real life experiences that are going to make that academia relevant to them.
Well, Megan, tell us how students, high school students, can best use teachers and counselors to their advantage to prepare for college.
Well, certainly just talking to, I mean, teachers are on the front line. Nobody knows students better than the teachers, right? So establishing those good relationships with the teachers, having those conversations. I know DPI is requiring all of our K-12 schools to participate in ACP, academic and career planning. So there are a lot of authentic, like already kind of built-in opportunities for those conversations to take place. So as teachers and students have those conversations, I think just making sure that we at the technical college system are arming our teachers and counselors with all of the correct information, they're going to be the best advocates for students in terms of choosing those pathways.
And we've got about 30 seconds left here. How can taking college credits at an early age help students decide their career path?
I think it's really about giving them the opportunity to expand on their career exploration, like Megan was talking about. And it really helps them to see what the opportunities are, take a course, their passion becomes very real, and then they understand that they can do what they've set out to do. They can try a course, say, in automotive, and they find that they love it. And we help them understand the career path it can lead to. And the students really have more drive and more passion to complete their education when they're involved in those dual enrollment courses.
Well, I think that puts the mortarboard on this discussion. Thank you so much for joining us. Megan Miller, early college specialist with Blackhawk Technical College, and Anne Westrick, career prep education director for the Wisconsin Technical College System. I appreciate both of you being here this morning.
Well, John, thank you for having us. I think it's great to be able to share the amazing options that the Technical College has, and that we love to partner with the high schools and provide those opportunities for students. Thank you for having us.
The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection issued more than 1,300 licenses to grow industrial hemp this year, a 22% increase from last year. But some producers who grew the new crop in 2018 say they no longer think it's a simple solution to farmers' financial woes. Hope Kerwin has more.
Last spring, LaVon Felton was all in when it came to industrial hemp. Felton owns car dealerships in Viroqua, and he has an organic farm outside of town. In 2018, he had a contract to grow 48 acres of hemp grain for Legacy Hemp, a company out of North Dakota. On a sunny day in May, he took his best guess on how to plant the newly approved crop.
So I'm going to start at a wheat setting at 40 pounds an acre, and then I'll adjust as needed. So we're just going to fill up the grain drill.
Even though hemp grain had never been grown in Wisconsin, Felton believed it could help farmers struggling with low prices for traditional commodities like milk and corn. Looking back now, he says the lack of information wasn't his biggest obstacle. It was simply the persistent rains that impacted fields across the state.
You know, it just couldn't get dried out. It just rained a lot. So when we did get it harvested, we came up with a good product, but it tested too high for mold spores in the grain.
Felton didn't sell a single pound of the hemp grain he harvested in 2018, and neither did the roughly 20 other farmers who contracted with Legacy Hemp. Between the seed, fertilizer, required testing, and other expenses, Felton estimates the endeavor cost him at least $20,000. And he wants farmers planting hemp this year to know they're taking a risk.
At least if we have a corn crop that doesn't go well, or beans, we're going to get something. You know, we're going to be able to recoup some of our costs. You know, basically with this, if you lose it, you lose it all.
Corn and soybeans with small amounts of mold can still be sold for livestock feed. But the only market for hemp grain is for human consumption. So Felton says he doesn't think growing hemp grain will ever be profitable in Wisconsin because of the climate. The state doesn't have the same arid summers as plain states like North Dakota, where hemp grain has been grown since 2016. And Legacy Hemp agronomist Brian Parr says his company is starting to agree, especially if Wisconsin continues to see frequent heavy rain events at the end of summer.
If it's not going to be conducive in Wisconsin because of our changing climate, then it may not be the best crop to be growing in Wisconsin for grain.
Parr says the state's farmers have a much better shot in the hemp fiber market and the rapidly expanding wellness industry around cannabidiol oil, or CBD. But growing hemp for CBD products has had its own problems. Just ask Bob Povelmacher, who farms part-time near Lone Rock. Povelmacher planted 3 acres of hemp for CBD in 2018 and harvested around 1,000 pounds of hemp buds with a fairly high percentage of CBD. At the current market rate, Povelmacher should get around $450 per pound for the buds. But he can't find enough buyers.
I've got a bunch of different shops that are buying it, but they're only a pound or 2 pounds at a time, so it's pretty slow. I mean, it's steady, but it's slow.
Povelmacher says the larger CBD manufacturers he's contacted already have more than enough hemp, so he's having to work harder to market his product. He's even invested in lab equipment so he can make a hemp extract on his farm, a less processed version of CBD oil. And he is optimistic the market is catching up. This year, DATCAP issued 600 processor licenses, 100 more than last year. Povelmacher says adding industrial hemp to his farm has not been easy, but he says the risks around the new crop are no different than the gamble every farmer takes when planting a field.
This is just another facet of the business. You know, it's another crop, and hopefully this one works and the other ones will come around and one of those will work some other year.
He's taking another chance on industrial hemp this year and helping a group of local farmers grow about 10 acres of hemp for CBD. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Up next, it's Wisconsin Weekend, and we're all in on strawberries. This is The Morning Show. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.